Lord God, reveal yourself to us this morning. Through the praises of your people, through the reading of your word, through the proclaiming of your message. But in all and through all, may you be in it all. We don't want to see anything but you. I pray, Lord, that for each person in this room, you would challenge us with your scripture, that you would convict us where we fall short, and that you would comfort us in the midst of pain that we are going through. Lord, I know of a great many who are experiencing pain even right now. And I pray, Lord, for your comforting Holy Spirit, the balm of Gilead, to be applied to their hearts, their souls, and their lives. May you renew and restore us, for you alone are our Redeemer, as well as our King. We ask this in the name we love most, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is time for 252 crew. So if you are in that age group of 4 to 4th grade, you are now dismissed. And for the rest of you, if you would go ahead and grab a Bible, yours, the pew Bible, or your neighbor's when they're not looking. We are starting a new series today called Growing Up. And in this series, we're going to be looking at what we call spiritual disciplines. Disciplines are basically things that we do. You know, it's kind of disciples are disciplined. Same root word, disciple, discipline. Usually when I think of discipline, I think of a paddle that hung on the wall in the kitchen, and it had different things listed on it as to what it was for, and it was primarily for me, apparently, as I learned throughout my growing up years. I think I got spanked twice as much as my brother and three or four times as much as my sister. In fact, my last spanking, I think, happened my sophomore year of high school. I was just that bad. And not only that, but the only reason it was my last spanking was because my dad could tell, despite my attempts at faking crying, that it really didn't hurt that bad anymore. And so he found other ways to punish me. But, you know, discipline is not a negative thing, especially when it is self-discipline. It's being enough of a disciple, a student, to be able to control ourselves. In fact, self-control is one of those gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that God gives us. It says that basically that He did not give us a spirit of timidity, or of weakness, but of self-control, power and love and self-control, self-discipline. Today we're going to be looking at one of the most important of spiritual disciplines, and that is Bible study. Bible study. How many of you have ever done what we called a sword drill? Oh, good. A lot of you have done them. Real briefly, this is what happens, is everybody will draw swords, and that means you have a Bible by the binding in the back, and you have it up above your shoulder. If you're left-handed, probably here. If you're right-handed, probably here. And I will give you a book, a chapter, and a reference, and I'll give it to you twice. I'll repeat it. But you can only try to find it when I say charge, okay? So that's, you know, draw swords, you pick the Bible up. I'll give you the section of Scripture you're supposed to look up. I'll give it to you again, that's twice. Then I'll say charge. When I say charge, you can bring it down and start trying to find it. As soon as you find it, you stand to your feet and start reading. The first one to stand to their feet and start reading, we all give attention to because they have won that round of the sword drill. Any questions about how that's going to go? Okay, there's only one exception to this rule. If you've got the passage memorized, you can skip all the looking up and just stand to your feet and quote it, but you have to have it memorized, okay? So just keep that in mind. We're going to do a little bit of exercise here. So if you would draw swords, the passage you're going to be looking for is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. Proverbs 27, 2. Charge! Amen. Well done. Our visiting pastor with us, Bob Grimes, very, very well done. Quick on the draw there, are we? Proverbs 27:2, let another person praise you and not your own mouth. Someone else and not your own lips. That's good wisdom for the day, isn't it? Now we're going to go for something a little more obscure, maybe. I want you to draw swords. Draw swords. Come on. Oh, no advantages. I see people kind of sneaking down. It's twisted. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 1. Zechariah chapter 6. Verse 1, charge.
I looked up again, and there before me were four chariots coming out of between two mountains. Huh? You don't have that bookmark?
Well done. Now, this side is winning so far. I don't know if you've noticed that. You guys are going to have to pick up the pace here. Okay, draw swords. Draw swords. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Charge. There you go. Stephen got it by a nose. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Well done. So it's 2-1. 2-1. So you got to reclaim or retain the crown, or you can challenge them with a tie, and we'll have to go into tiebreaker heat here. Let's go with 2 Chronicles chapter. Oh, I'm sorry. Draw sword. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Verse 3, 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 3, charge. Well done. So we have our victor over here. What?
He was raised.
Oh, of course he was raised here. We all win, right? Bible study, I don't know about you, but growing... Oh, man, I'm out of coffee. I drank that way too quickly. I grew up in the church, as I'm sure many of you did. Some of you did not. We come to this at different points in time. I remember Bible drills being a part of children's church. It was just something we did. It was a regular part of the occasion, and we were handicapped by age, except for me and my brother and sister. We were given extra handicaps because my parents ran children's church, and I guess they thought it would look bad if we kept winning. But we would actually practice at home because we loved... I wouldn't say that we loved the Bible that much at that age. We just loved winning that much. We would practice at home. As we look at Bible study, a familiarity with the Word of God is so key. It is absolutely essential. And to be honest with you, there are so many passages I could have chosen for today's study, but instead of choosing one where, you know, like all of Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training the man of God so that he'll be thoroughly equipped for every good work, that would have been a great one. But instead of that, we're going to go with the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Now, before you open up to that, you're all well practiced at opening your Bibles quickly. What is unique about chapter 119 of the book of Psalms? Longest chapter in the Bible. And we're looking at the whole chapter in our sermon today. I didn't get a lot of eager, happy response from that. Now, normally I just have 2 to 4 points, and we kind of do it that way, and it's pretty quick and pretty painless. Today, though, I've got 10 points. But don't worry, I'm not going to be giving illustrations for everyone. I'm going to be trying to give 2 minutes approximately to each one, maximum, and we're going to go through them. And I just kind of want you to note these down. You can write them right in your Bible, unless you think that's sacrosanct, then write them on your bulletin or some scrap of paper you'll lose after today, and then that'll be the way you do it. The other thing, that as you look at chapter 119, it's divided up by these weird little symbols and then words next to them, like Aleph and Bet and Gimel, Dalet, Hey. It's the Hebrew alphabet. These are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and so it just goes through in order, and it's got a short psalm about the Word of God for each one of these letters of the Hebrew alphabet. You can think of it as an early reader. if you will. It's like A, B, C, D, and we'd have a poem about the Word of God for each letter of the alphabet. So that's what they're doing here. I've actually just picked out 10 sections of Scripture here, mainly just one verse at a time. Some of them are longer. And I'm going to make a point about each one of these. I'm not going to make them rhyme. They're not going to go together with alliteration or assonance. There's not going to be a great story with each and every one of them. But I figured that would be appropriate based upon today's topic, that of studying the Bible. The first one is Psalm chapter 119, verses 4 through 8. Psalm 119, verses 4 through 8. There you go. You have laid down precepts, rules, that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. The wonderful thing about this passage is that this is somebody learning the Word of God who doesn't understand them, who's not necessarily living up to God's law in every single way. He says, in fact, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your laws. Then I wouldn't be put to shame when I consider your commands. This is not a perfect person. This is not somebody who's got it all down. But the really cool thing about it says, I will praise you with an upright heart or with a righteous heart. As I learn your righteous laws, in the process of learning, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. In other words, you can have an upright heart, a righteous heart, as you learn and respond faithfully to God's law. So you're ignorant about things. Me too. All of us don't know things. That's just the way it is. And in life, as we learn truth, then we're responsible for that truth. And the really awesome thing about this is you can come to the Word of God and you can learn, and as you grow, you can be righteous at every stage. Did you catch that? You can be righteous at every stage of your development as you respond faithfully to what you learn. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. We need to increase the speed on that transition slide. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let me repeat that. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word hide there has to do with a keep or a fortress or a castle. I have protected. I have put it inside my heart and it will never be taken from me. It's kind of the concept of memorization, but maybe not so legalistic of a rote by rote memorization, so much as just hiding his word as a treasure in his heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, the main point here is that the potential to not sin, the potential to not sin comes at least in part from memorizing his word, from putting his word deep down inside of you so that you would know the difference between right and wrong. Notice it doesn't say, I've hidden your word in my heart and I will not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We still falter, and get into all kinds of folly in our lives. But the potential to not lie, the potential to not steal, the potential to not commit murder, the potential to not be jealous or envious, the potential to not be bitter, the potential to be godly is found at least somewhat in part by hiding God's word in your heart. If you are not reading it, you cannot be hiding it in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 45, one of the great ironies of God's word, says, I will walk about in freedom. I will walk about in freedom, for or because I have sought out your precepts. I have sought out your rules. I have sought out your boundaries. Did you hear that? I will walk about in freedom because I have sought out your boundaries. If you know the boundaries, this is the cool thing about God's law. If you know the boundaries in which you're supposed to be living, inside those boundaries, you are absolutely free. Absolutely free to live and move and have your being Acts 1:8, I think it is, or Acts 8:1 or something like that. You're free, absolutely free within those boundaries. Rules are to provide freedom for the most number of people. God's rules, God's way of living is not because he wants to hold you under his thumb, but because he wants to release you to live a life full of joy and meaning. In fact, Jesus Christ says that I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. You want to know how to have a free marriage? Well, husbands, cherish your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. You'll be free in that relationship if you both do that. You want to know how to be free in your relationship with your parents? Well, parents, raise up your children in the way that they should go. Train them early and often so that they will not be exasperated as they reach an adult life. And children, obey your parents when you're minors and honor them your entire life long. You will be free in your relationship of father, son, and mother, daughter, and vice versa. You want freedom in this life? Obey God's rules. Psalm 119, verse 60. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. This is probably one of the secrets, the key secrets. It's not really a secret. One of the key truths about how to apply God's law to your lives in such a way that you will be changed by it. When the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes from the reading of God's word in such a way you realize I'm not living that way, change now. Change now, because the conviction is there. The power to overcome it is there. The time is now. When I was learning from a carpenter, a cabinet maker, in fact, I convinced him he needed to hire me on, even though he'd never had an assistant before. It was my pickup truck that he hired, though, I'm sure. One of the things he told me was, do it now. And one of the great principles of life, he says, when you take a measurement, mark it now. When you need to cut a board, do it now. When you need to repair something, do it now. Otherwise, you will forget it, or you'll mismark it, or you'll forget what the mark was about. He said, do it now. The same thing is true in reading God's word. When you come across a truth of God's word, the key is not to read through the entire Bible as quickly as possible. The key is to be changed by God's rules and God's law and the word of God. So as you come across a truth, change now. Now. That's why so many times we offer altar calls at the end of services, because you're feeling the conviction now. Now's the time to make the decision and make the changes stick. Psalm 119, verse 89. And really, all of Psalm 119 is just an ode to the Word of God. 119, 89. Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. In the midst of all of life's uncertainties and changes, and there are many, in the midst of all of life's uncertainties and changes, God's word remains. You want to know a foundation you can build your entire life upon? You want to know something that you can absolutely trust in? It's the word of God. It has not changed. One of the coolest things that's happened recently is they found inscribed on a piece buried in an ossuary or a bone box, the earliest quotation of Scripture. And it was the blessing, the priestly blessing for the people. In other words, when they buried this person, they had this embronzed, I think it was bronze, it was silver. It was on a silver scroll that they'd imprinted it on, and it was a priestly blessing. You know, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious. That one, it was on there, and you know what it was? It was verbatim the text we have today. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, the Great Isaiah Scroll was the earliest known text of its time. It was found from 2,000 years ago. And it was the same as the Hebrew text we have today, to 99% accuracy. The things that were different were additions to the name of God. In other words, instead of just Lord, it was Lord God. It was an addition. Or a typo as far, not really a typo, I don't guess it wasn't typed. But a writing error as far as the instead of a or something like that. But the actual truths of the Word of God remain unchanged for thousands of years. Our textbooks in every single subject matter get revised annually. The Word of God is secure. You want to know how to build your life, what foundation you can build it on? His Word is what you can build it on. It will never change. Christ came and said that I will not change one iota of the law. Not one jot or tittle, funny little words, But the yoda was the smallest, shortest alphabet letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and a jot or a tittle was a small mark that they would make over the letters in the alphabet. In other words, he wasn't going to change one thing of God's law. His law is eternal. Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. And this doesn't mean he reads it all day long. It says he thinks about it all day long. He reads it probably in the morning. And then as he walks along through the day, it's stuck in his mind. Let another's mouth praise you and not your own. That was a great proverb. We should meditate, think on that every day, all day. And as we're walking along and we're tempted to take praise as our own due, our own right, we're reminded of Proverbs 27 where it says, let somebody else praise you. Don't honk your own horn. And so as we congratulated Dr. Leo, he gave the glory back to God and said, this is the toolbox he's given me. I simply obey God's call on my life. Meditate on it all day long. Food for thought, once consumed, nourishes forever. Psalm 119, 104 through 105. Psalm 119, 104 through 105. It says, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I talked about this at the Christmas Eve service a little bit. Before there's light, you can't perceive which path you should take. Once there's light, you can see which path you should take. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light of the word of God will reveal to you which path you should take. And the cool thing here is in 104, the verse just before that says, I gain understanding or wisdom from your law. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. The light of God comes first, then comes a love for his path and a distaste for any other. If it's hard for you to love the way God wants you to go, get in his word. And his light will reveal which way you are to go in this life, and you will find yourself loving his path and hating any other path. Psalm 119, 143. Trouble and distress have come upon me. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. This doesn't sound like people who were burdened by God's law, does it? These are people who felt joy at the source, at the giving of the law. It says, trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. When life turns sour in your mouth, God's word remains a source of joy and pleasure. When friends fail you, when jobs fire you, when family flees, God's word is forever. And God's word can maintain your joy in hard times. Run to it like the name of God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Psalm 119, 161, rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. This is my favorite one of all of these, and don't worry, we're on the second to last one. Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. Catch this, fear God and all others seem paltry and powerless. Fear God and all others seem paltry and powerless. Rulers, kings, persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. If you fear God, if you reverence him and his word, then no matter what other pressures come to bear in your life, they will seem paltry and powerless next to the power of the word of God. You will desire to please him above all others, come what may. Lose the job, lose the spouse, lose the friends, lose the family, but maintain, hold the word of God. No matter what happens in life, not only will it hold on to you, but you hold on to it. Fear God and all others seem paltry and powerless. And the final one for this morning, Psalm 119, 176. Psalm 119, 176 says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. This is the very last verse of this entire chapter. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. At the beginning of this chapter, it's one who is learning, who doesn't want to be forsaken. He says, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. And we talked about how you can have an upright heart. You can be righteous as you learn. He ends the chapter saying, I have strayed from that which I know is right. I'm wandering. Seek me, O God, because I have not forgotten your commands. God's word remains even in the heart of the prodigal. God's word remains even in the heart of the prodigal, and God's voice resonates. It rings in their heart throughout their life as a beacon for their return. Raise a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Even though they stray like a lost sheep, if you raise them in the Word of God, it will continue to be in their heart, and they can't escape from it. It will resonate with them the rest of their life, and God will use His Word to draw them back to Himself through life. You've all experienced this. I've experienced this in my life. You can't run fast enough to get away from two things: God and yourself. You can't get away from yourself. And when God's word has been planted inside, you can't get away from it. And parents, this should be one of our key goals in life, is to plant God's word in our children's hearts and minds so deeply that it's taken such deep root that they can't eradicate it. That no matter what they choose in the early stages of adulthood, no matter what mistakes they make, they can always come back because God's word will always call them home. If God's word is in your heart, it will continue to resonate throughout the remainder of your days. So if all these things are true about God's word, what am I to do with God's word? Well, obviously, read it. And I'm going to give you three options here. You can take, there's many different options. These are three different things I've done that I find to be very helpful to me. Number one is read through the Bible in a year. You know, it's a great goal. You should be familiar with the whole Word of God. I don't privilege this simply because I think people get lost in the whole, I have to read this much, instead of actually getting the great truths that are in there. They just kind of tend to read it. But if you've been reading for a while, this might be a good one for you to do. Read through the Bible in a year. Simply go online, Google, read through the Bible in a year plan, and there's like hundreds of them you can download straight to your computer. If you don't have that connection to the internet or that savvy and you want this, just fill out a communication card. I'll print them off myself, and I'll get them to you in hard copy. Second option, it's what I call the getting started option. When I disciple somebody, this is the order I take them through the books of the Bible to try to get a good understanding of what we're talking about. The first one's Matthew. So they get the story of Jesus Christ first and foremost. They figure out a lot more about what He is and what He said and what He did and what He's promised. Then the book of Acts comes after that. What did Christ do in the church? Then the books of Genesis and Exodus, so they get a good grounding in the overall worldview of the Judeo-Christian ethic. So it's Matthew, Acts, Genesis, Exodus. Then I like to do three different epistles of the New Testament, three different letters to Christians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, I think, gives them a good base because I think we're a lot like Corinth. It was a trade route, a very prosperous financially and tended to a lot of debauchery and idolatry in their time. So 1 and 2 Corinthians and then Ephesians, because it's got great truths about how to live in relationship with husband and wife, boss and employee, parent and child, and Christians within the church. It's just a great book. So that's the getting started option. And just take your time with it. Go through it in that order. Matthew, Acts, Genesis, Exodus, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then Ephesians. And the third option, I would say, is daily advice. This is my personal favorite. I do this most of the time. Every once in a while, I'll change it up for variety. But daily advice. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. And you can read a chapter a day, every day of the month. And at the end of the month, you just start over again at the next month, and you just, whatever day that happens to be, today is the 27th, I'll read the 27th chapter of Proverbs. And you can add to that if you want, if that's not sufficient, if that's not enough, five chapters of Psalms also work in that same rotation, so that every month you read through the books of Proverbs and Psalms, which daily advice, it's just profound stuff that will change your life. I would challenge you, any one of those three options, read through the Bible in a year, getting started, or daily advice, three options for just getting into the Word of God. The second thing I would say is be obedient proactively. Be obedient proactively. And what I mean by this is simply pray this, and I wrote it down. It says, Lord, you are going to change me through the reading of your word. So I want you to know that I will obey what I am about to read, even if I disagree at first. It's giving God permission to be God and his word permission to trump my opinion. And too often we read it first and then decide whether to obey it. If you're going to read the holy book, if you're going to read the Word of God, the constant in all the universe that stands unchanged for all eternities and stands firm in the heavens, then for goodness sake, we should realize that our opinions don't really measure up to God's revealed Word. And so as you come to it, I would just suggest, pray this prayer before you read it. And you can adjust it. It doesn't have to be word for word. But Lord, you are going to change me through the reading of your Word. So I want you to know that I will obey what I am about to read, even if I disagree at first. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a commitment here. And instead of coming to the altar rails, I want you to simply use the communication cards that are in the back of the pew, because I think it's important to have accountability. I think it's important to let other people know the commitments you make, which is why when I really felt God call me to give up the 140 acres I love most in the world, the farm, whenever I inherit it, hopefully it'll be a long, long time from now, because that'll mean my parents are dead, he wanted it. And so I had to donate it to him. And the first thing I did after I made the commitment was I told somebody, because that would be an easy one to walk away from. So if you feel convicted today that you need to be in God's Word daily, and you haven't been, and you want to make that commitment today, I challenge you, get a communication card out of the front pew and just write on the prayer request part, daily reading. And I'll know what that means. And I'll be able to hold you accountable to that. You'll know that somebody else knows and is praying for you to accomplish this. There will be days that you miss. Don't feel condemned. Rather, just renew that spirit and just jump back in. It should be the rhythm of our lives, not some mandatory thing we feel in bondage to. Okay? If you're feeling challenged, if you're already reading every day, then you don't have to make a new commitment today. But if you're not reading daily and you're feeling convicted that today you need the eternal Word of God in your life every day, I want you to write that down on that card. When the offering plates come by in a few moments, just drop that in the offering plate, and that way I'll be able to get them. Okay? The way the end of the service is going to work, very simply, we're going to call the ushers forward in just a second. They're going to take up God's tithes and offerings. If you're a guest, especially if you have a church home that you support, feel free to not put any money in the plate. If God is, of course, calling you to do so, please do whatever God calls you to do. Also, if you could just drop the communication cards in the offering plate as they go by, that's the easiest way for us to be able to keep in communication with you. Also, there are these black books on the outsides of the pews. We call them friendship books. If you could all fill those out, and if you have a change of address or change of contact information you want us to be aware of, put that in there as well. Just pass it to the middle and then back to the outside during the offering time. I challenge you, though. I promise you, if you read God's Word daily and you proactively obey it, you will be absolutely changed forever. And you will have that tuning fork resonating in your soul till the end of your days. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your eternal word which grows us up. One of the very foundations of spiritual disciplines. I pray, Lord, that you would make us a people of one book. That we would treasure your word so much so that we would hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. I pray, Lord, that we would allow ourselves to be changed by your Spirit as you speak through your word. Help us to listen to you and not just read words on a page. Lord, I pray for Lucas. He's a part of this church family. That he would grow up in this place that he would call home, and he could always come back. I pray that we would be faithful to raise him in the way that he should go. I pray that we would always be able to provide ministries for him that he would need to encounter your word, your spirit, and yourself. I pray, Lord, for our kids that are downstairs, that they have received their sermon today. Words directed for their level of understanding. I pray that they have been changed by you as well. And we pray all these things in the name of Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.